Hi, my name's Jason, and I'm a misfit. Thank you. By show of hands, any other misfits, freaks, or geeks here this evening or morning? Wow, I don't even have to preach today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, go in peace. I'd still like the honorarium. So we are continuing our discussion of holiday classics. And today we want to use as a jumping off point one of the great classics. The drummer boy may stretch back to 1941. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came out in 1965, I think. Or 64, excuse me, 64. And I don't know, was it originally shown on TV or was it in theaters first? Because it's like 64 minutes, so okay, TV. And it's still a perennial classic, and you know, now, what is that math, 55 years later, maybe we chuckle at the high-tech, cutting-edge stop-frame animation, but it is a classic. We all know the song, of course, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, how the other reindeers used to laugh and call him names. Rudolph was a misfit. He was different than the rest. He didn't fit in. And if you remember the show, because he was so distraught that he didn't fit in, he ran off even, because everybody was calling him names and laughing at him. But really, that show is filled with misfits, other characters that Rudolph encounters along the way. Of course, there is Herbie the Elf, who is no good at making toys. And in fact, I have prizes today. Who remembers what Herbie really wanted to be firsthand? A dentist. Very good. So rot your teeth out, and Herbie will appreciate it. Oh, good job. And then they go to the island of misfit toys, where they're really honest about the name. This place where, today we'd call them factory seconds, I suppose. These broken toys, or what? There's a jack-in-the-box named Charlie or something. You know, the ones that nobody wants end up in this island and are rejected. And then, of course, there is the misunderstood, abominable snowman. Who remembers what his name is? Okay, you got to show the hand, baby. I thought it may have just been Ron throwing his voice with good ventriloquism, but you're too old for that, I hear now. I am just impressed he didn't say his mother-in-law. Right? No Christmas gift for him. The Bumble, yes. And his ferocious, ferocious fangs. Well, I want to take a look at one of the songs from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, where Rudolph and Herbie meet. And they realize that in their misfittedness, they are companions. Let's take a look.
We're a couple of misfits. We're a couple of misfits. What's the matter with misfits? That's where we fit in. We're not daffy and silly. Don't go round willy-nilly. Seems to us kind of silly that we don't fit in. We may be different from the rest. Who decides the test of what is really best? We're a couple of misfits. We're a couple of misfits. What's the matter with misfits? That's where we fit in.
Why am I such a misfit? I am not just a misfit. I'm a terrible reindeer. Why don't I fit in?
Why am I such a misfit? I am not just a nitwit. They can't fire me, I quit. Seems I don't fit in. We may be different from the rest. who decides the test of what is really best? We're a couple of misfits. We're a couple of misfits. What's the matter with misfits? That's where we fit in.
My new theme song. Not only is it true in the show, but in life, there are misfits. Folks that, for whatever reason, are outcasts, are kept at arm's length, who may be dangerous. And so we go out of our way to avoid them. And you can fill in the blank what defines a misfit for you. I know many of us realize that we ourselves are misfits in some way. And you are a step ahead of me because that's true of all of us. But even for those of us who are misfits, my hunch is if we were honest, we would look at some people in our lives, whether by name or by group, class, whether it's the color of the skin, their language that they use, their height, or their job, or lack of it, or their odor, or their, you fill in the blank, who subconsciously even we say they're a misfit, they're different, they're the other, they're dangerous. And so we keep our distance. We protect ourselves. This is not a story that was new to 1964. In fact, let's go back to the Bible and read about a misfit today. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 5. Jesus with his disciples in the boat on the Sea of Galilee had just calmed the storm. And they end up pulling ashore on the other side. In fact, starting at verse 1, it says, "So they arrived at the other side of the lake," or the Sea of Galilee, "in the land of the Gerasenes. Just as Jesus was climbing from the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit ran out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the tombs and could not be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put in chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and he shattered the shackles. No one was strong enough to control him. All day long and throughout the night, he would wander among the tombs and in the hills, screaming and hitting himself with stones. This guy's a misfit. When Jesus was some still distance away, the man saw him, and he ran to meet Jesus, and he fell down before him. He gave a terrible scream, shrieking, 'Why are you bothering me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? For God's sake, don't torture me.' For Jesus had already said to the spirit, 'Come out of the man, you evil spirit.' Then Jesus asked, 'What is your name?' And the spirit replied, 'Legion, because there are many of us here inside this man.' And then the spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. 'Send us into those pigs,' the evil spirits begged. And Jesus gave them permission. So the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake where they drowned." Now, the Jews of the day may have rejected Jesus, but they love this part of the story. Stick it to the pigs. "The herdsmen fled to the nearby city and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. Everybody rushed out to see for themselves. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, but they were frightened when they saw the man who had been demon-possessed. For now he was sitting there, fully clothed, perfectly sane. Those who had seen what happened to the man and to the pigs told everybody about it. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and to leave them alone. When Jesus got back into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No. Go home to your friends. Tell them what wonderful things the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to tell everybody about the great things Jesus had done for him. And everybody was amazed at what he said. This demon-possessed man had been exiled to the tombs, to the cemetery on the outskirts of town because he was such a misfit. He was an outcast. He was dangerous. Nobody trusted him. He was a danger to the community, to himself. He was rejected. He was scorned. He was avoided. And yet, Jesus goes to him. And Jesus releases him of these demons which were plaguing him. Notice at the end of the story, the man wanted to go with Jesus. He was so overcome with the one who had healed him, who had set him free, who had made him normal. He said, "Please, let me come with you. I want to stow away on the boat and go with you, follow you." And Jesus says, "No." Jesus didn't say, "No, there's not a life vest. No, I don't need you." Jesus gave him a job, a mission. Really, he sent him as a missionary back to his own people, his neighbors. So Jesus sent him to his own people, where he had, it says, a very effective ministry. These people who had known, isn't that Frank the demon guy? The dude who lives naked and crazy down at the cemetery? What's up with him? And he was able to tell his story, and people were transformed by the same God who transformed him. That's really an example of the definition of what we say testimony, of sharing your testimony. As an aside here, your testimony is simply telling folks who you were before you met Jesus and how you've been transformed by Jesus. Now, to the best of my knowledge, none of us were crazy naked screamers living in cemeteries. But all of us still have a testimony of who we were before Christ came into our lives and how we are different because of it. And that's what ministry is. He didn't send this guy off to Bible college or seminary. He didn't say, "Read this 8-volume theological treatise." He said, "Tell your story." And that was powerful. Done with our side. But as Legion here shows us, he was the misfit of his neighborhood. Really, and I'm so glad most of us raised our hands, because I would contend that all of us are misfits. Whether it's because of a disability, our looks, a language, a color, our brokenness, our sin, or for the Christ follower, we're really essentially called to be a misfit in this world. If you look at that very word, misfit, to not fit, those who have been redeemed by Christ in a very real way don't fit into a broken world, but yet we are here for this season to share our story. God can redeem anyone. God uses misfits Sometimes we look at the popular perfect people, whether on TV or even as preachers, we look at the preachers with the big TV shows and the arenas. Oh, God uses perfect people. Trust me, those folks are misfits in their own way too. God redeems misfits, maybe like in our story from Mark 5, by bringing healing and transformation. Or I also believe God uses us in our misfittedness, if that's a word. As I was thinking on that, and surely there'd be lots of examples, but for some reason, Johnny Erickson Tata came to my mind. Some of you know her and her ministry. She's a quadriplegic. By society standards, we'd say a true misfit, useless, really. Do away with her. But God has used her not by bringing healing to a broken spinal cord, but by using her in her misfittedness to speak truth and love. And God can do that through you and I today. Now, in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I love that we see everybody's misfits. What I don't so much love is that those misfits are only really accepted into the community for what they can do. What I mean is Herbie is only accepted because he can defang the bumble. Rudolph is only truly accepted because he saves Christmas, because his nose serves as a beacon to guide the jolly fat man through the winter storm. We dare not accept misfits only for what they can do for us. Really, God calls us to accept others, who they are, where they are, to love them there. Whether they can do anything for me or I gain anything because of them. In fact, Scripture talks more about this as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks a whole lot about this image of the church as the body of Christ made up of lots of parts. You're probably familiar with some of it, but let me just read one verse from chapter 12, and that's verse 27. Now, all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. You can read the whole chapter. It doesn't say only the perfect parts are really necessary. So that tells me that God intends that all of us misfits, for whatever reason, that we're different or freaks or geeks, God intends to use us, even in our misfittedness, in the body of Christ. And so, even as you look around this room today, there's a place for you. There's a place for that person you may see who otherwise you would say, I don't know, they're an oddball, they're a misfit, I don't know what their point is. God uses all of that. And not only in the body of Christ, as we go back into the world, if we are to be the representatives of Jesus, Jesus saw that crazy demon dude coming at him out of the tombs. And I can imagine maybe some of his disciples or the welcoming crew said, oh, we got to just avoid that guy. Let's go this way. But Jesus actually went to him. May we be the kind of people who go to those that the society rejects as the misfits, to love, to redeem, to include. Pastor James said that part of our theme of Advent for today is joy. I think true joy comes when we work together, when we live in community, when we complement one another, when we serve out of our strengths. That's what this whole 1 Corinthians 12 is about, the body of Christ. It's not intended to be a drudgery, but to bring joy as we work and live together. And in just a few moments, the worship team is going to lead us in some songs of joy and, of course, that great Christmas classic, Joy to the World. Joy to the world because our Lord has come, the God who doesn't dismiss us because of our misfittedness of brokenness, sin, and rebellion, but who made the way that we could all be brought into community with Him and with one another. Joy to the world because of that. And we can continue to practice and implement that joy 2,000 and some years later now, as we look past the surface, the cover of the book, if you will, and we see the God image that is stamped in every person we meet, to look past that misfittedness, whatever it might be for them, to love them, to accept them, to make room for them, not for what they can do for us, but because of that God image that's stamped in them. I am a misfit, but so are you. And so are our neighbors. And we want to be the tangible presence of a God who loves misfits, of who redeems and uses misfits. On the screen and on the back of your worship program, I've got three questions. I'm going to give you 93 seconds to get started on those. But I want you to think about, who are you tempted to dismiss as misfits? Now, be honest here. This isn't going to be collected or graded. It can be people by name. It can be a group of people. Whatever that is for you, who are you tempted to dismiss as a misfit? How does Jesus, do you think, see that person? And then how can I really begin to have the eyes of Jesus for that person? How can I love them? Maybe think of a tangible, specific way for that misfit at work or that misfit family member. What can I do in this season to tangibly demonstrate love? Okay, you can take that home, you can work on it, but 93 seconds, go. You can jot down ideas. Well, you literalists can tell me later how many seconds it actually was, but I'm going to round. Pray with me. God, thank you. Thank you that you love me, that you love each of us, even as we are misfits. For whatever reasons we may feel we don't fit in, and because we're followers of yours in a very real way, we shouldn't fit in. But we also need to confess that, I'm sure for most of us, there have been people that we label as misfits about us, and we avoid them. We push them off. We may even see them as dangerous. Give us wisdom, give us prudence, but more so give us grace as you have extended to us by inviting us as misfits into your kingdom through Jesus Christ. May we be the example of Christ in inviting into community those that the world would label as misfits, as freaks, as those to be kept at arm's length. We say we want to be church for our neighbors. Help us to continue to truly do that, regardless of what our neighbors look like, smell like, sound like, act like, until they come to know Jesus Christ. May we be a community that sees a place for everyone, not just for what they can do for us, but simply because they bear the God-stamped image in their spirit. And even as some of us have thought through or jotted down, maybe even names or people in our lives, may you continue to refine our hearts and our minds to see them as Jesus sees them, and to find real ways to demonstrate love, to experience joy that comes with that acceptance and love. We have joy because of you. May we not hoard it, but share it with all who need that joy. In Jesus' name. And, Lord, we also, as we continue in prayer, thank you for all the ways that you provide for us. Our time, our abilities, our resources. We want to honor you with all that we are and all that we have. And so even as we prepare to gather these tithes and offerings, may it be for us a tangible reminder, a sacrifice of how everything we have is from you. And so everything we have is to be used to honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name as well. Amen.